Howdy, Charlotte. How's it going?
Hello, it's going good. Except we're being flooded with rain.
Oh
But
yeah, I see in the on the window behind you.
And you cannot see from my old roof. It is, in a cascade of water. So, but
We have had a very rainy summer here in Texas, which is not
You hit the
typical.
news here. No, it
Yeah.
hit the news here. It was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was a tragedy. And then elsewhere where the flooding had didn't take place like that, it's I don't know, it's just so muggy. Like the temp like just all the humidity in the air is it's unreal. Morning, Jen.
Good morning. I
Good
accidentally
morning.
went and started the Teams meeting, I think.
I do the same thing. I need to remember after this to go and edit the series and pull those Teams meetings off of it because I do the same thing every single time. Charlotte, you just came back from vacation, is that right?
I have had I'm so sorry. I have missed several of these meetings, both because National Lab of Sweden, we have had so many things we need to do before. They all went off on 4 or 5 weeks of vacation, and that those meetings happened to be at the same time as these meetings. And then I had 1 week vacation, but I'm back. So
How come you
I
only get 1 week and they 4 or 5?
So my contract is an odd mess of US rules, regulation, Danish vacation rules, and here I am in Sweden. So it's not really, no one in what's it called, a union would probably approve my contract. But I'm fine.
I feel like it's been the summer for vacations, like more so than in summers in the past. I feel like everybody's, which is great. I'm happy for everyone, but I just feel like there's been a lot of vacations this summer for people. It's good.
But I think normally
Yeah,
Europeans,
I
they
think in the
do.
US at least things feel, I mean, I don't know how you feel in Texas, but
And
sorry,
I think
off time.
in Europe, normally people are having earlier vacation compared to in the US. Yeah, I think in July is a vacation month. It is.
I think things feel apocalyptic here, so people are going on vacation to distract themselves from the ongoing apocalypse.
Yeah, there's certainly some of that. All right. I am not sure how many folks are gonna be here. I guess it was last week. Maybe it was last week. I think Martin and I were the only people on the call, and I was gonna, call it, and I was like, maybe we just chat a little. I think we ended up chatting like the whole hour, so it was good. I appreciate getting to talk to him about this document I posted, which I don't know. Did y'all get a chance to look over Maccabee's questions that he asked about the document?
No, I saw that on the Slack, and
Yeah.
I think some of his questions are a little bit, should you know, we cannot answer them just isolated, because I think we need to look at this as the thinking for the community-driven development is not isolated from what the community has been discussing about. It's just same idea being thought out of coming out of two different places, and we just need to consolidate that. And then, and you probably have heard a bit about all of this, the KInns manifesto. It was also discussed in
Yeah.
the community council. And in some way, things are also intertwined with this, that suddenly a software development company feels that now they need to think about how to continue development. And that document has been withdrawn and with some kind of apology as well. But you know, again, all of things are in the same bubble.
Yeah.
At least that's how I see it. And I think we should operate in that context and then think of what benefits the Folio community best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why my comment was that we should make sure that CC has your most recent document, because they've got someone who is working on coordinating a comparison. And then my strategy was go I put the next few CC meetings on my calendar, was to actually show up at CC and
Okay.
see how the discussion is going. Sometimes they do drop things. So I think for those of us that are interested in it, showing up and being there when they're talking about it, because hopefully, like, I think right now they've got one person assigned to it, but hopefully at some point they also form a subgroup. The sense that I got is that Mike Gorrell's proposal will sort of be the foundation, and then, like, you know, our input aligns with some pieces of that, so it could get tacked on. So sort of starting with Mike's and then kind of melding on the other pieces. But it seems like CC is the place to engage right now.
I agree, because I think that just the un maybe it's not unfortunate, but the reality is that at the heart, this is a money question. This is a funding resource question, and the CC is the place where those sorts of things are tackled. And so I do think that the CC is the body that we need to have buy-in from. Maybe not the most, but primarily we need to have buy-in from them. So one of the things I liked about Maccabee's line of questioning, and you kind of alluded to this, Jen, was that it really did focus on how the ideas in the document I put out there can coincide and kind of work with Mike's proposal. And I think that is an important observation. My motivation behind putting together that collection idea of ideas was I wanted to do something that spelled out process in a little bit more detail than some of the stuff that I've seen previously. But also, I was really hoping to try to represent what I've viewed as the most simple representation of what we're talking about. Just because I was kind of motivated by some experiences that I'm having in the community recently. Specifically, I've been working a lot with the self-hosters. We've been trying to put together a group, and we are staring down the barrel of having to run Eureka, and it's not going as well as we had hoped it would go. And so we're all still trying to square up to that task, but in the interim, we're trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do next? What's the next version of Folio that we're going to go to? What does that look like? And there have been some proposals. I put forward the one about extending Ramsten support. Index Data has broached this, and some of the folks, I think, in GBV also have put forward the idea of maybe doing a copy release of Sunflower. But any of these proposals are going to take development and funding. And so some of the conversations that we've been having among the self-hosters is, how are we going to do that? Like, if we're interested in this happening, how are we going to fund this thing? And from my perspective, I felt like the arrangement where a loose group of community members with common interest having a battery of individual contracts with somebody to get some work done seemed it to me it seemed a little messy, and I kind and it also seemed to circumvent community government governance in a way that, isn't horrible, but I think it, I think it could be done in a way that bolsters or strengthens community governance. And so this idea of funneling the work through governance, and having the people interested in having the work done give money to the community earmarked specifically for that purpose, and then having any contracts that are formed happen specifically between the folio organization and the people doing the work seem to simplify things a little bit. From my perspective, it's easier to do an MOU than a contract. So if you have, 10 MOUs in one contract, that feels more simple to me than 10 contracts, I suppose. I don't know. So that was kind of the rationale behind this. Does that make any sense? Am I thinking correctly about this?
So the thing is that we, I'd say the conversation on what the community-driven development team was to work on would have been much simpler if we did not have the situation where we can see that Eureka is so complicated to get on. So it would have been more, you can say, straightforward. We need to maintain some orphaned apps. We need to do some development work on functionality that has been a high priority for the six for years and not been done. Now this team goes in and help get that things done. But now the situation is messy, and that is causing some, I'd say, complication in the understanding on what is the community-driven development. Because I think actually it is the first, do development work on things that has been hanging for too long. But now we have that we are in a kind of a lock-in situation. We are a little, until we have the Eureka environment up and running, and being possible to actually move customers onto Eureka. We're a little, a difficult situation. And the thing is that EBSCO has not also has neither started their migration of their customers. And this week there was, or was it filed last week? There was this issue being raised, and now that is, I think it was it Jason Root who, or no, it was Julian Lardish who found it. Of it was from GPV, and now they did listen the Eureka team and can see that it needs to be rolled out as a critical service patch for Sunflower, and not.
You referencing the concept that Eureka is unable to run multiple versions of a module cross-tenant.
It's and that would be an issue for EBSCO as well. I think they must be running multiple versions too.
From what I've heard, EBSCO's migration, I mean, this is all hearsay, but that EBSCO's migration strategy and upgrade strategy entails actually launching a new environment to move folks into behind the scenes. That's how they do it. So that's how they get around this. They don't use a multi-tenant strategy for upgrades or migrations is what I have heard. I mean, I don't want to get into the weeds with it, but just basically saying that I don't think that one member of our community's business practices when it comes to this stuff should like dictate like the structure or functionality of the platform as a whole. So if that's what works for them, that's great. But a lot of folks in the community take this other approach, and previously both approaches were supported, and it would be nice if both approaches were continued to be supported. Do you have any thoughts, Jen?
Sorry, my internet's being unfriendly this morning. That's why I've been quiet. I think Charlotte's got a lot more familiarity with the business side of this than I do, in the coordination on the hosting side.
I think Charlotte, one of the things that kind of gives me pause about the vision for community-driven development and the way that you expressed it was, I do feel like if we did have a development model that the community could direct, that a lot of the work that could and should be done by that mechanism would be what you're describing. Addressing these old, more maintenance, kind of more boring issues that are really important, need to be done, but don't necessarily, not bleeding edge development, but taking care of our backlog. I really do agree with you that that's what should be done. But at the same time, I guess I don't want to build something that can only do that. I do want to empower the community to direct the development in that direction if they want to do that, or in another direction if that's what the, because times, like for instance, this is a great example. It is exactly as you said. Right now, Eureka is like this boom, this big thing that's landed on us. And maybe right now, addressing that concern is more important than the backlog of stuff. So I hope whatever we build is flexible enough to pivot, when need arises, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think this is one of those times when Mark would complain about the use of the word domain, but it does feel like part of the problem that we're facing right now is this sort of infrastructure domain versus the functionality domain. And we really have not exercised a lot of community control over the infrastructure that goes into a release. I mean, yes, we're paying index data for DevOps, but in terms of release management and deciding, what's a flower, I mean, the TC's got some, the community is used to exercising opinions over functionality and not so much over infrastructure. So it feels different, especially to introduce sort of a community fork of the platform for however long it lasts, right? It just feels like moving into a new area for the community.
That's r really interesting. Yeah, we've especially working now with the product council. I'm very much living in functional land, but it does seem like a lot of the things that are rearing their head right now are kind of non-functional concerns with Folio. That's interesting. Do you think that from your perspective, Jen, do you feel like that the community should be wrestling with these non-functional aspects of Folio?
I'll be honest, so I'm very torn about this. The economic situation in the United States is really bad. And so being grateful for EBSCO's continued funding, which is quite expensive, of keeping the release management going seems appropriate. I really worry about the community's ability to resource things like just it's a terrible time economically. EBSCO makes money off of doing this, right? Like, and index data, sorry, but like the libraries cannot compete with EBSCO financially. And I think we should think about whether we even want to. So I guess that's why I have mixed feelings about it. I feel like the economics are really, really hard right now.
Yeah, it is. My brain kind of gets caught in a loop around those ideas because I do really believe in the vision of Folio as like an open source community owned endeavor. But at the same time, the economics of what we have, like what we have built, was not built by the community. It was built by EBSCO, when it comes to the funds of it, like, and that's not 100% true, but it's just 90% of it was built by EBSCO or whatever, but
It's not all true because GBV has really, they
yeah,
have
that's true.
spent 2 million euros.
Yeah.
So they have really put
Yeah.
in a lot of money.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It is true that it is mixed, but it definitely leans heavily in EBSCO's direction, and their pockets are deeper. And so, like, part of me is thinking, I do constantly advocate for community control of the project, but I also am sympathetic to the idea that, as from a business perspective, it's a very dubious proposal to pour money into something that you don't have control over, and so the more I see the situation as being one where we're wresting control away from EBSCO, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, what happens, if they say, all right, fine, this is no longer something we can control, but it's also no longer something that we can resource to the same extent because of the risk involved with resourcing something that we don't have control over. And do I like the way Folio looks in that world? And I don't necessarily know if I do.
I would really love if we were able to position this these ideas as help to make more things happen and not wrestling things out of anyone's control or something. And I know I might be a little naive here, but I would really love for that message to be our primary, that we are helping out here and we are trying to help out. So the whole folio as one piece is not to break apart. And also, if we end up that we need to support Ramsons a bit longer, I'd say that that's not so complicated. I still say because we do not need to run the Bugfest test 3,000 test cases. We just need to have a Bugfest environment up and running for a little bit longer, so we can test the individual bugs or things we need to fix. And that could be something where we can pay EBSCO for, can you keep it up a little longer? I don't see that as a fork a folio, not at all. It's just we need to buy ourselves a little bit more time.
Yeah, I definitely was thinking a temporary fork, not a long-term.
It's just that we need to buy ourselves more time. What can we do? Because we have all declared that we are to move on to Eureka. We are. That conversation ended 12 months ago or something. But we,
Yeah, that is one. I at this point, from A&M's perspective, howdy, Martin. The two paths forward that seem viable at this point are either extended Ramson support or this concept of a sunflower release of Okapi. And what the good thing about the idea of a sunflower release of Okapi is it would enable us to move forward to newer versions of Folio. We would get more features coming our way. That would be good potentially for Sweden, because I know that they need some of the sunflower functionality. Is that
They
correct?
need Trillium as well.
Trillium. Yeah,
So
there's talk about
they are
doing
in
Trillium.
a more tight situation.
Yeah. So, but the downside to the continuing Okapi releases is it does start to look like two folios, and I could tolerate that for a period of time, like you said, Jen, like a short fork. But I think it spells doom for the project as a whole if that just
Definitely.
becomes the new normal.
Definitely. We cannot we must get focus back on feature development, because this is kind of derailing what we are spending our time and money on. So we should get back on the same track.
Okay. Well, I
I have a proposal.
go for it.
And that is, would it be helpful if this group tried to synthesize, to put in the parts of our document into Mike Gorell's document, and we can then keep it as, and we could clearly mark up what is new paragraphs in his document, and then to illustrate that this is the same idea with a little bit two different starting points, but it's the same idea. And we have both the financing and we have the ideas of how to define this team and define its purpose and define what to work on.
I do like that idea. I do think it would be beneficial to talk through how these things coincide. I suppose I could share my screen and pull up Mike's document, and we can maybe talk through the commonalities that we see. Can y'all see my screen?
One question, because I mean this is Mike's document, but I read that Tom Kramer also made a document, and somehow I'm not sure about the state of these documents. I mean, is Mike once the one that has the only one remaining, or is are there further documents that are being discussed? Do you know something about that?
My impression of Tom's document is, well, first of all, I've been having a hard time tracking it down. I remember reading it, but I've been having a hard time tracking it down. And what I recall from it is that it was a pretty high level analysis of the situation. I like the ideas that were in it, and it did kind of paint a picture of like kind of the flow of resources through the community and a vision for what that could look like. But it was kind of a 10,000 foot view, and I don't really think that he's been championing that perspective. I've not seen that. From what I've heard from Jen here today, the CC is moving forward with at least a discussion of Mike's document. So it does seem to be the one that it's getting the most attention at this point. Does that sound accurate to you, Charlotte and Jen?
Oh, I was not even aware about Tom Kramer's document, so sorry about that.
Okay. No, I'm just not. I mean, these are the two that I recently saw, and that, how to say it, that survived until now, I think. But I'm not aware of any other document. Only these three with ours, but there may be other documents as well. I'm not aware of. So I'm just wondering if this document from Mike is the best one to go with, so to speak, or if there are any, competing documents that we also have to be aware of, and so.
Yeah, Tom's was very, very ambitious. That was the one that had like funding for a 12-person staff. I do think there's some stuff in Tom's that they might bring over, essentially around setting community expectation, basically about the need to contribute money if you want to help fund the community development, that like making it a bit more obvious to people that the hosting costs don't really cover development costs. But I think that the finer details of his is probably a much bigger reach than what Mike's document is. Mike seems a lot more doable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it makes sense to go on with Matt's document.
Okay. I feel like there so when I read this developer marketplace, identify qualified development organizations through community validated mechanisms. That's something that I've not seen in other documents. I do think that two and three here feel like a little similar. Multiple sustainable revenue streams. And then I guess this kind of calls out one potential re revenue stream, or at least maybe paints a picture for how individual libraries can participate in funding. And then this addresses, Charlotte, your concern with just a often overlooked aspect of what we need to do. There's one thing that I don't see here that I think could really play a role, and that is I don't know how much attention y'all have been paying to Caitlin Stewart's endeavors with the priorities dashboard, but it seems to me that that could be a really useful mechanism for kind of exposing what the community wants developed. If the community is engaging in that process, it does seem like it would kind of put forward things that are needed by the community. Charlotte?
The idea with that prioritization approach from the PC is also to give input to any of the existing development teams. So this is, also it kind of was born out of Harry Kaplanian saying, "Give me five features you want us to develop." So
Yeah.
can you give me five? And then so now we are in this position that we can tell we have this functionality we would like to have developed for the circulation modules. Vega, will you pick that up? We have this for metadata management. Is this something Spitfire or Foliot can pick up, etc. So we have the list now, or some a way to identify our list of five features.
Do you think that that information could inform community effort development efforts as well?
Absolutely, yes. Also, because if none of the existing teams will pick up one of these, then the community driven development team could pick that up. But just to identify, to say that this priority is not just for the new team, but is intended for all teams to give clear indication of what functionality has all the six together with the PC identified. But yeah, we can I'd say it's good to mention it somewhere that we have already a system in place for how to be informed of what work should we begin with.
Yeah. I guess what I'm thinking with that is that it seems like something that could be really useful to have for, to focus development or kind of reveal what development the community wanted. And there's a lot of energy behind that in the product council. And so it would, if you could kind of tie those two things together, it seems like there could be a nice synergy between them. Right now. This developer marketplace idea, one thought that occurs to me is the benefit of one of McAbee's concerns was with my document that I put forward was, and we actually saw this happen a little bit when with my proposal for extending support for RAMSons was there was some debate as to how accurate my cost projections were, based on the market value of the work that would need to be done. And one thing that Mike's document addresses is this idea of kind of standardizing the cost structure for development work, which would make projections of cost a lot easier to do. So if you had that standard, kind of development rates in place, then you would have a better ability to project costs. But Martin pointed out that that's not necessarily in the consumer's best interest, the standardization of prices like that, because it reduces competition. I would love to hear y'all's thoughts on that, because I can see benefits kind of to both ideas.
There will definitely be regional time differences. And there is also, when calculating development costs, there's also this: is this a long-term contract, or is it, just work for one release? Or so it's definitely, it will be, I'd say, it would be really expensive for the community if you are to just take the rate of a developer, if it was the highest rate, then it will be really expensive. And there will also be difference if it is to index data. We also work with this Baltic software company. So and yeah, that's a lower rate, of course. Same as EPAM developers are much lower rate than compared to if it was EBSCO's own developers.
And you would probably end up with a lot of subcontractor work if you did that. Like some contractor would come in and they would probably, if we had a standard rate, they'd probably sign up at the standard rate and then hire cheaper developers to do the work and pocket the difference. That's where my brain would go if I was running a company.
But I and I understand you can see Edwin from he is from BVB, if I remember. He asked who is a qualified development partner, and I know they worked together with an Austrian company that was, much cheaper than what Index Data could bid. But they were not able to do folio development, but they have done something that is, looking really folio-like, but it's not the backend work, it's not really folio. But here there is, you could say they could, as partner, be educated in doing folio development, and then it we would have a bigger a pool of people who can do folio development, and that would be in the community's interest.
Yeah, I think that, number two here, where it says this multiple sustainable revenue streams, and it's talking about creating viable business models. I think the extent to which it is the community's responsibility to create viable business models for development firms is debatable. I the community needs to be developer friendly enough that people can make money But we can't be subsidizing, or you know what I'm saying? Like, it still has to be a competitive situation. So I think there's some, for me at least, there's some questions here. Because I think there's a, yeah, anyway. But I don't think this is the place where our work really intersects with Mike's document anyway. I mean, I think it intersects much more when we get to the decision-making parts.
Yeah, I do think at least the proposal that I put forward does have a lot of interaction with his document and point three in the collaborative funding piece. One thing, there seems to be kind of two funding models that well, what there's the idea that we can fund this development team or development work through dues, and just, you know, part of our dues goes to, you know, funding this stuff. I think that that's an interesting idea, and I'm not opposed to that by any means. I think that reducing hosting costs and coming up with strategies for bringing hosting costs down. I like the idea of exploring that option more than an increasing dues, or, you know, some combination of those things, you know, because we're running pretty tight right now. So, you know, I don't mind the idea of funding it through dues, but something's going to have to change with the economics of our dues, you know, in order to make that work. But the other funding approach is this kind of spontaneous and kind of as needed funding by folks that feel a need to see a specific piece of development done. And I know from my talks with my boss that that's the sort of development you kind of put your money where your mouth is, you know, approach. You know, it's something that at least he can get behind. You know, he likes the idea of, well, if Texas A&M has this thing that they really want done, of, you know, let's see if we can, you know, put some resources towards, you know, making that happen. I feel like it would be good if we did have a model that supported both, that there was just kind of the standard level of development that took place that was maybe dues funded, but it had opportunities for maybe additional development efforts that was spontaneously funded out of, you know, institutional need. Charlotte?
So I just want to go back a little bit because right now that we don't have the developer advocate anymore. So we don't have anyone who can help development companies and who is keen to learn and work in Folio, but do not have the history and have not and for them for whom it is really a steep learning curve. And I am pretty sure we don't know about all the people who have failed, who wanted to learn it, wanted to do it, but had to bail out again. And in a way, the community would be so much stronger if the team could, you know, have people come in and follow along and learn how to do folio development, being compliant to the TC's ask and all the processes around folio development. And when we index data the Odin team, we called it the work we did for Hebis here. Because index data, we it's limited what we have of developers, but what we pulled in two brand new developers from this Baltic software company, and they were able to do real folio development supervised by Nils Erik and Mike. So that was possible, and that could be also a way to, you know, pull in and get more hands, get more people having this knowledge. And I think that's a sustainable, that's a long-term goal, that we need to have more people who can do development for us. So the Austrian company could also be, working side by side and learn.
So are you describing almost kind of like a buddy system for contractors?
So,
Like we're like the contractors onboard contractors?
I don't know really what I'm trying. I'm tr just
Yeah.
trying to see how can we enhance the number of people who can do folio development. And I know it's the branch I'm sitting on myself. I'm kind of, but I think it is one of the you can say the good arguments behind what would be the strength of this development team too.
So I really think, because you mentioned the developer advocate, I think this, yeah, coming, I mean, I think I mentioned that before already, but I think the developer advocate is really such a position that would be very good to be funded by the community and on the long-term basis, because it's just, as you said, it's the developer advocate, if it does a good job, will just lower the threshold or the learning curve for developers and new developer or vendors, developer or companies to enter let's say the folio market. And that's not, I mean, this is nothing that the existing developer companies may be, I mean, they are striving for, but this is very much of what we the libraries are striving for, to have a good competition between developing companies and or developers. So this is really something that we as a community, and mainly as the library community or the customer community, should be interested in.
I think there's plenty of work to go around. I think I think there's I mean, it's remains to be seen if there's enough money to get all the work done, but if it's just development targets, I think that there's more, way more work than we have people to do it at this point. Charlotte?
I agree, but I will, regarding the developer advocate, then I think that position can only be lifted by someone who has deeply knowledge in how development folio is actually is to be done. And has experience, and you can it. I think the Patrick's position, it was really difficult, really, really difficult. So and he didn't get he yeah he should ha he didn't get the help from the development team, you can also say. So he had it was so difficult to get into the meat of everything. So that is why I think if we have a team of of very experienced developers in the community-driven development team, and not so experienced developers, maybe even, this is will do some not that expensive work, simply because then they invest in their future to be able to do this development. That could also be that they simply see it as a future business if they get this knowledge about how to do real folio development.
I'm scrolling through this document. I'm having some thoughts. I feel like what Mike has put together here represents the most comprehensive and well thought out and approach to community driven development that is out there so far. I think that there are things that I would change about this document. There's areas where I might expand on it. But I don't know. I guess a question I have to you guys is, should we just take this as a foundation for our work and engage with this document to try to make it, you know, the best version that it could be? Would that be a good focus for this group?
I think we really need to see what CC's plans are. Because Edwin, I think it's Edwin, was going to go away and compare all the documents. Is what was decided at the last CC. Only because I don't want us to like waste effort.
Yeah.
I think we should check in with them before we decide what to do next, basically.
When is, Jen, I know you said you added those to your calendar. When is the next CC meeting?
The next one is Monday. They seem to meet the second and fourth Mondays, perhaps.
I'll try to.
They met on the 14th. And they're meeting again on the 28th. So I think it's the second and fourth Mondays.
I'll try to go there as well. I do think I like the representation on this group, especially when Stephen is able to make it. He's on vacation right now and has had some stuff come up the last couple of weeks. But I do like the idea of a cross-council effort, in this regard. And I do think it could be a good place for this work to happen, but I think that the CC kind of has to drive this process, and it does seem like the smart place to engage with the process is with the CC.
Yeah, I really don't want to lose the cross-council piece, and that's why I want us to suck in the CC as opposed to working in parallel.
CC, when do they? So that would be on Monday. The 28th, that would be the fourth.
At 10.
What time? At 10. Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll try to be there, and I think we'll just glom on to whatever they're doing and try to I want to make sure that there's not parallel efforts going on.
Just a question. So is Stephen the only one from CC in this group, or?
As far as I know, Stephen is the only one, but maybe if we go to the CC group, we could get more participation.
Yeah, I mean, and if we are going to concentrate more on Mike's document, I mean, if Mike can do it, yeah, I think it would be good to have him as well. I mean.
Yeah. Charlotte, I know Mike's a busy guy. Do you think he might be able to come talk to us about this document sometimes?
Mike Orell?
Yeah.
Probably. But is he still in the CC? I don't think
no.
so. No, no, no.
Ah,
okay.
Oh, he wrote off? Or
I believe so.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this seems like a good game plan, Jen. I like your strategy of engaging with the CC. I think that that's the right next step. And if they are doing the same sort of analysis that we're hoping to do, if Edwin's engaging in that, maybe we could get him to come to our next meeting. We can try to pool our efforts.
Yeah, and that might be a good meeting to also invite Mike Orell to. So then we have both Edwin and Mike Orell at one of our working meetings.
Okay. Well, I'll try to be super proactive next Monday after the meeting. If it looks like something like that would be a good idea, then I'll just try to spend Monday afternoon making sure that all the invites are out and we have a good plan for next Wednesday's meeting.
Sounds good.
All right, folks. Thanks a bunch. And I hope your Monday shapes up into a good one, though. I guess you're coming down to the end of yours, Charlotte.
Yeah, but I'll see if Rika snapshot is better than it was this morning, so I can continue some testing. So not
Also, I wanted to just put out there that it's Paul that's doing it, not Edwin, for the CC.
Oh,
I just went back and looked
okay.
at the notes to make sure I was getting that right.
Is
Paul
that
Kloppen.
Peter Paul or
Yeah.
yeah.
Paul Kloppenbauer. Is that?
Oh, okay. Is that right?
Peter Paul Kloppenberg, it looks like.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I've had some great conversations with him last WolfCon about a lot of this stuff. So, great. Cool. All right, CRM.
Okay, bye-bye.